Hello and thank you for being here. This is your host, Positive Phil, with the Positive Phil Show. Are you ready to get positive? I'm excited. Today we have a good show. All right, who's on the show? Well, I'll tell you right now. Robert Herbst. He's a power lifter. He has won 18 world championships, 33 national championships, and set 38 world records. He's a graduate of Columbia Law School. He supervised the drug testing at the Rio Olympics. He's doing it. That's why he's on the show. He's a great motivational speaker, an expert on fitness, wellness, weight loss, and he's dedicating his efforts right now to fight the obesity epidemic. I need to do more in my life. I really do. Okay. But I'm not doing bad, right? I get to meet great people like Robert and introduce them to you, the great listeners. This is a place also where we interview thought leaders, community leaders, good people. I really want my neighbor on the show. Awesome. Living life with purpose. You know, this is also a place for a little bit of motivation for those who need it. And at times, my life gets a little overwhelming. But perhaps I'm speaking to the choir. So it gets tough. And I'm not always walking around with a big smile on my face. But I'll tell you something. It helps. Being positive helps throughout the tough times. So here's a little bit of motivation. The only thing that changes life long term is that we must raise our standards. We all have things we want. We don't always get what we want. We get what we have to have. It comes down to self-discipline, at least for myself. It comes from within. It comes when we make a decision to be better, to be a better person, to be a harder worker, to feel better in the body that we are in. Self-discipline is not a bad thing. That word discipline seems so bad, but it's not. You need discipline. To do more, to be more, and to live more. That's what we do on the Positive Phil Show. Oh, that makes me feel good. A little motivation. All right, let's put our hands together for Robert Herbst.
So let me ask you something, because my job, which is an awesome job, I have the ability to talk to people like you, individuals living awesome lives. Not all the time. The journey is not always easy, but can you give us a little backdrop? I know that you are nationally known as an expert on fitness, wellness, weight loss. You're a power lifter, 18 world championships, 33 national championships, 38 world records. What's motivating all this?
You know, it's funny. You tell me I live an awesome life, and you know, I'm getting to the stage, and people are compiling this, and I'm writing it down, and I'm looking at my resume, and I'm going, wow, you know, I did all that. And I kind of joke about people that, you know, I leave off the space shuttle mission and the Nobel Prize from my resume because, you know, I just don't want to be so much. But it's just, you know, I just went about and started, maybe a cliche, just to do my thing, you know? I mean, what I found in life is if you try something, then it almost takes on a momentum of its own, and it becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. For instance, in the early 80s, and this isn't in the background materials, I climbed mountains in Nepal. And the reason I did that is, as a boy, I read about Sir Edmund Hillary and his climbing Everest, and I read about the Yeti and things like that. And then one day I was looking at Natural History magazine, which is put out by the Museum of Natural History, or was back then, and I saw an ad for tours, and it said Nepal. And this was before the internet and everything, and I just called them up. And then suddenly I was buying rope and getting shots and, you know, getting a plane ticket, and then I was in Nepal. And I'd been an experienced climber. I'd learned that in the Boy Scouts and things like that. So it wasn't like I was just totally free. But so the thing about weightlifting is I started weightlifting and I enjoyed it and I got good at it. And I'd been in enough gyms where people came up to me and said, you know, hey, you know, we should do this. So I entered a contest and lo and behold, I did okay. And the thing about weightlifting is it's a great sport because you win even if you may not win in the traditional sense. I mean, the first national championships I ever entered, I came in eighth, but I lifted more than I ever did. So to me, that's a victory. And I tell people I work with in the gym and you know, people I talk to, you know, lift 5 pounds more than last week. Lift, you know, one more rep than you did last week. And that's a victory. Now, as a sport, obviously you want to beat other people, and I'm fortunate that the amounts I lift coincide with other people's, you know, bests and limits, and I've been very competitive and very good. But it's just, to me, I just going out and starting. And that's another cliche, you know, 90% is showing up. Well, you show up and then you do it and then you put your effort into it. Because I frankly only know one way to do it, and that's all out. I mean, I commit. If there's something I'm going to do, I'm going to commit for it. I'm going to prepare for it. I'm going to study about it. I'm going to read about it. I'm going to give it my utmost in all facets.
I like that you said. I like that you said prepare for it. I talk to a ton of individuals and myself. Just do it. There are certain things that I want to do in life that I'm sitting on the sidelines, and I should just do it. But at the end of the day, everybody said, just start it. Just do it. But you have to plan for it. You have to prepare for it, I think.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to do right, you have to prepare for it. It's like anything. I mean, you don't take all the kids to dinner without, you know, making sure they're all in the car and you have gasoline. You know, it's a minor example. But, you know, anything that's worth doing, the preparation is what's, you know, I mean, it's part of it. I mean, especially in an individual sport, for instance, as a weightlifter, I can't blame my success or failure on anybody else. No one's going to throw the ball over my head that I can't catch it. You know, nobody's going to fumble the handoff before they give it to me. I'm either going to be in the best shape I can be or I won't be. So it's all on me. And a lot of things people do even in their daily lives like that, you know, whether they're making arrangements for the family to do something, whether they're in business, whether they want to lose 5 pounds, they really can't blame the fact that they stopped at McDonald's on the way home on someone else. I mean, if they happen to be in a carpool and carpool stops at McDonald's, then you have the self-discipline to go, well, you know, no thanks, or I'll just have a salad or something. You know, so that there's ways to adjust. But, you know, preparation is part of taking ownership of what you do. And again, my view is if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I mean, you don't spend all that time and energy in lifting, going to a competition, and then not have the right shoes. You know, I mean, it just makes no sense. You know, you want to optimize what you do. And you can't wear running shoes if you're going to lift weights. It just doesn't work. You know, the springy sole doesn't work, you know, for the people who are listening and may not be familiar with it. And I guess, as I mentioned before, I'm a Boy Scout, and the motto of the Boy Scouts is be prepared. So come to think of it, the stuff I learned when I was 11 years old, you know, rubbed off. So still works.
And you do more than weightlifting, powerlifting. I mean, your bio, I keep having to scroll down. Columbia Law School trained attorney, Wall Street lawyer, public company general counsel, tsunami relief efforts, humanitarian efforts, motivational speaker. These are just titles. I know you're much more than just the titles. We can find you at weightlifterusa.com, and that's spelled out weightlifterusa.com. My neighbor moved, a wonderful lady. She had to move out of her house, and she gave me her elliptical, and it's in a room. I've had it now for 4 days. Right when I pulled it into the, oh, this is the greatest thing. Thank you for giving it to me. I'm going to use it for 20 minutes in the morning just to get the heart rate going. I haven't used it once. I think I'm becoming a lazy person, or perhaps I have to break, I have to get motivated, not just my physical, but I think it does start with the physical. I think that if you get
in the... When you said you had a new elliptical, I was going to ask you, how much clothing do you have hanging on it already, after 4 days? Because, people buy exercise equipment, it becomes a clothing rack. But
I just don't know. I think I need to get some... because my brother, he's in the gym. His mind, his spirit seems intact, and I'm just kind of cruising through. I need to get motivation. How do you find your motivation? How do you find your inspiration? Because isn't it hard after all these years to continue to go to the gym, to continue to do stuff, continue to move forward?
I mean, it is, and then it isn't. When I say it is, certainly there's been plenty of days where I come home and I'm tired or I'm sore or I'm hungry or, there's a really good football game on TV. There's a lot of other things I'd rather do, but, I go and I do the sport and the training anyway because I can rest later. The football game, they would not play the football game to come watch me work out. You have to have your priorities, but it also, again, becomes kind of like a loop. And exercise is kind of special like that. The more you exercise, the more you enjoy it, and the more your body almost seems to need it. If you don't exercise, for instance, if you're going to rest and take 2 or 3 days off, you start to get edgy, you start to get fidgety, logy, you feel bloated, you want to get to the gym. Like when you take a long airplane flight, you just can't wait to stand up and walk around. And you'll find that once you start exercising, your body is going to crave it. And the reason is because our bodies are designed for it. A lot of stuff has come out in the press lately that they're learning that sitting is almost as bad for you as cigarette smoking. People sit 8-10 hours a day, in a car, in their office, in front of a computer, and bad things happen to their body because they weren't designed for it. And if you give your body a break and actually start moving it, your body is so thrilled to actually do what it's supposed to be doing that it'll reward you and make you feel good. People have heard about runner's high, where the brain releases endorphins. And endorphins are the same things that are released when you do something pleasurable, such as listen to music or have sex or even eat a candy bar. It's the kind of the sugar rush, the endorphin rush. So once you start doing it, you'll miss it. And with you and your elliptical, it's very easy to start. I mean, just go pick the 6 o'clock news when you get home, and just do it during the 6 o'clock news. It's a contained half hour. You don't have to pay a lot of attention to what you're doing, either exercise-wise or TV-wise, and just listen to the latest headlines and do it. And then when you're done, you realize you just exercised for half an hour. And then do that, 3 or 4 times a week, or do it, during the weekdays, during the 6 o'clock news. or the 8 at the 10 o'clock news, or doing Jeopardy. I don't mean to plug all these shows, but, you know, everybody's home by 7 o'clock and watch Jeopardy and kind of think about the questions and do your elliptical. And then, gosh, you're done and you exercise for half an hour. How hard was that? You were going to watch Jeopardy anyway. So, you know, as opposed to sitting on the couch doing it, you just exercised. And then once you start doing that for a few weeks or a month, you know, then you can start branching out and adding some strength training or do it at different times of the day. Or maybe now that I've done the elliptical, maybe I want to try running and you go outside or you find a friend who wants to do it. You join a running club. It doesn't even have to be running. It can be walking. You know, go take the dog. He'll be thrilled, I'm sure. You know, get an extra walk out of it. So it really doesn't take a lot. It's almost the equivalent of my reading the back of Natural History magazine and seeing the picture and going, wow, and picking up the phone. Well, the next time Jeopardy starts, get on your elliptical.
Yeah. You know, you made a point.
I mean, it's sitting there anyway.
Yeah, it's sitting there. It's not doing anything. I have a place where I can put my computer on it. I have a TV hanging on the wall. I was laying in bed watching a movie last night around 9 o'clock like this lazy bum, and I'm thinking in my subconscious the entire night about this elliptical in the other room, and now I'm talking about it the next day. So the bottom line is just start, and especially if you have it weighing on your conscience, if it keeps bothering you like it's bothering me, I just have to put everything down and just do it. On your website, Robert, it says, you quoted this, in life, you don't have to play the hand you are dealt. Instead, you can change the game. I did. And I know you can too. You're a motivational speaker. I've listened to a few of your presentations and online. Do you enjoy that, engaging others and motivating other people?
Well, I really do because it's hard to explain. I mean, I've always enjoyed teaching. In fact, probably in another life, I should have been a teacher. And that's one of the reasons I do so much coaching. I coach youth sports. I train people. And then doing things like this with the Phil Show. I've been very fortunate. I've learned a lot of things. I know a lot about exercise that I've kind of learned the hard way, picking it up in gyms, learned about motivation, learned how to get people going. And then sport and life has been good to me. And this is my way of giving back. It becomes, you know, it's very natural for me. It's almost a no-brainer. I mean, you mentioned the humanitarian relief I did after the tsunami where I went to Sri Lanka. That was very simple. I had met some Sri Lankan powerlifters over the years. So when the tsunami hit and devastated most of Southeast Asia, this wasn't an abstract concept for me. I actually knew people. And through different emails and the internet, I was able to locate someone. I found out that people hadn't been killed, which was good, but houses had been destroyed. And then I started looking around, and the Red Cross wasn't doing anything for Sri Lanka, and the UN wasn't, and Bill Clinton, who was supposed to be in charge of all this, wasn't. They were helping the big countries that were politically important or tourist important. So I took it on me to organize tsunami relief for Sri Lanka. I actually had people pledge money based upon how much I lifted in different competitions, and I ultimately went out to Sri Lanka and went to the refugee camps and distributed the money and talked to the people and tried to help them. And it's just a way of giving back. And to me, it was as natural as getting up in the morning and brushing my teeth and just trying to help people. If I can help you get on the elliptical tonight or this week, if you send me an email saying you did it, you watched Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, which I know comes on afterwards because I see the commercial, you know, that's all it takes. And all you have to do is take a single step. Or when you lay in bed watching the movie last night, If you're going to watch that same movie and you're watching it on your tablet or your computer or something, you can put that right in front of your elliptical. You know? And you can get on and watch the first half hour of the movie right there.
I like it.
I mean, you're going to watch the movie. You know, you're going to watch it anyway, right? You're lying in bed watching the movie, wondering why you're lying in bed. That will be weird. You know, you just have to change what your normal is. And it's not horrible. You know, because you just do it enough, you know, frankly, in a week or two, and then your body will reinforce it. Like I said, with the endorphins, you know, you start to feel better. And then your body's also thanking you for moving, you know, moving around and exercising. And then, you know, lo and behold, you know, you just start to lose, you know, a little weight. You know, it's, I mean, only good things can happen. And the more good things, you know, well, one good thing happens and another good thing happens. You know, I'm a big believer in that. And you can make your own destiny. You start exercising and then you look better, you know, and then you feel better. And maybe you don't have to take certain medications or you don't have to go to the doctor. Or you start exercising and you get out and you meet people and you meet other people who are exercising. And they respond to you better because you look better, you know, and they probably look good because they're exercising. So suddenly you're hanging around a bunch of attractive people, you know. I mean, you know, life can start to get good. It almost looks like one of those beer commercials where they all run up the hill and then they have a beer together, you know. You know, you can start aiming towards that.
We will climb the hills together. I'm looking at a bunch of pictures online. Here's one on your website under the About tab. You sitting on the mat there at Rio. What makes you smile, Robert?
Actually, that was the London Olympics.
Oh, there it is, London 2012.
Yeah.
What makes you smile, Robert?
What makes me smile? I don't know. Actually, you know, I'm smiling now, by the way.
Me too.
You know, but I'll tell you why I'm smiling now. You know, well, there's a couple reasons I'm smiling now. One, because I enjoy speaking with you, and I like trying to help you, and I like trying to help your listeners. But two, I read something long ago that if you're on a phone call, and it's a business call or a job interview or something like that, you're supposed to put a mirror near the phone so that you smile. Even though you're not talking to a person live, you know, in front of you, you're still smiling. And if you smile, supposedly your tone of voice will be better and your mood will be better and your answers will be better. So I got in the habit of, when I'm on the phone, of smiling all the time. So one, I'm smiling because I genuinely enjoy what I'm doing right now, speaking to you and your listeners. But two, I'm smiling because long ago I learned about how to do a phone call, so I prepared. And then I had the discipline to practice it, and then it became second nature. So the lesson is, again, you prepare for something, you work at it, you train it, and then it becomes the new normal.
So, I like it. I needed you on the show. I appreciate you spending time on with our listeners and for me. I'm making a change in my life, and I need motivators out there like you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm happy to help. If people want to contact me on my website, which you mentioned, the W8 with the number, W8LIFTERUSA.com, Weightlifter USA, I would be more than happy to speak with people or correspond with people and try to help them do something. And frankly, you know, I'd love it if you told me, you know, later today or in a couple of days that you actually used the elliptical, you know, for more than a clothing rack.
I will definitely update you and update the listeners, and I need to do it for myself. I really do, and that elliptical is my life's metaphor in a way, because that's not the only thing in my life that I'm not doing. I need to start doing those things. And then the things that I'm doing that I know I shouldn't be, I have to shed. And it's about time I have to start. And I think that's the real reason I started this podcast, is I could read every book, I could listen to every speaker and motivator, but just hearing them every day on this show is what I need to change my life for the better and hopefully change others at the same time. So I appreciate you spending time on the Positive Phil Show, Robert.
Well, I certainly enjoyed it. And just, you know, for you and for your listeners, I'm nothing special. I mean, yeah, maybe I'm smart or whatever, but I'm not, you know, 6'4". I'm not, you know, incredibly handsome. Anybody go on the website and see my picture, all right? So, but I just, you know, I took advantage of whatever natural talent I had, and I just went and did it. I know it's a T-shirt. I know it's a marketing campaign by a shoe company, but, you know, you just really, you have to have belief, and you just have to go out and do it. And kind of, I guess, you know, you're fortunate in that you get to listen to a lot of motivational speakers and people like that, so you're exposed to it. And they're all saying kind of the same thing. And then when I was in the Olympic Village, I watched the best people in the world all distilled and in one place, and they're all saying, you know, very similar things. And so I think you and the listeners should listen to what people are saying, because there's a lot of similarities, and, you know, get up and do it. But again, in doing it, it's not horrible. You know, no one's making you, you know, go to a North Korean prison. You know, no one's making you do hard labor. No, they're telling you to exercise and get out and enjoy yourself and have a positive outlook. You know, these are all good things. So there's really no reason to shy away from it. You know, we should just go out and do it. So, and be positive. And yes. And it becomes a ripple effect. It'll branch over into all things in your life. If you're positive in exercise, you'll have more energy, and you'll do better at your job, and then you'll feel better, and you'll have a more positive outlook, and people will notice at your job that maybe you're smiling all the time, you have more pep and energy, and maybe you lost 5 pounds, you know, and then you become more social. It ripples over into everything. And then they give you a big project at work, and before, you know, you really couldn't do it, but now you've got the discipline to buckle down, and you've got the energy to buckle down, so you're more successful at work. And that can lead to good things, compliments, money, promotions, better jobs. It's not by accident that my resume has a lot of good stuff on it. And the reason is I kept working hard and improving myself, and one good thing begets another good thing. You know, you always look at someone's resume and you go, wow, how did he do this and this and this and this and this? Well, it all feeds on itself. You don't expect a guy to do one good thing and then the rest of his life he's horrible, you know, because, you know, he won't live his life like that. You know, there's the occasional story of the guy who was a Major League Baseball player and became an alcoholic and he threw his life away. But, you know, even then they can turn their life around, and that's different. That's a disease. But usually if you start doing something well, it carries over into all things.
Well, thank you so much, Robert. We'll meet again for sure. I appreciate your time on the Positive Phil Show. Continue motivating and continue living your life to its fullest like you are.
I certainly will, and I wish you and all your listeners all the best of luck. But you can make your own luck. You know, go change your life.
I feel good about it. I mean, that's the thing. It's all about change. You have to start. And I actually feel good. I feel good because I will start. So I appreciate it. Take it easy, Robert. You can visit Robert at WLIFTERUSA.com. That's weightlifterusa.com. Thank you, Robert. Take it easy.
Okay, thanks, Phil. You too. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.